the Word of God to Psalm 150, the very last psalm. Psalm 150. Thank you, brother, for all that. I'll have to double James' wages tonight. Double of zero is... We appreciate it, brother. Thank you sincerely. It's good to have people who serve the Lord with joy as well, ever ready to serve in the way that they can for the body of Christ. See how we go tonight. Psalm 150. This is just a few thoughts that the Lord, I trust, has helped us put together for this evening as we consider His goodness. Whether it be this morning, the Lord having us here for a year, whatever element that causes your heart to be glad, let us learn to be a thankful people. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Ending there at the end of the psalm. Let's unite together briefly for a word of prayer. The Lord knows your heart. He knows what you need to hear. He knows how to minister to you, and trust He will hear this evening. Our God, we just thank Thee for all here tonight who would crown Christ with many crowns, who would give to them all that they have. We thank Thee, Lord, for those who have owned Him as Lord and Savior. And we thank Thee for the reminder of our obligation to those of us who are baptized and in Christ tonight, the reminder of what it was this morning to observe again our allegiance to Christ and our need to give everything to Him. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt ever work out what displeases Thee from our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to live more godly in Christ Jesus. We pray that Thou wilt make it more easy for us to pursue Christ, to have the prayer of the apostle, that I may know Him. Oh, just to know Christ. In all of our knowing, in all of our growing, in all of our increase of knowledge, an increase of other things, that we might increase in our knowledge of Christ. Tonight we pray Thou wilt use Thy word. Thou knowest the downcast, Thou knowest the struggling, and Thou knowest those on the mountaintop, and we pray equally Thy word will come with power. And Thou knowest those who are still in the dunghill of their sin. We pray that too Thou wilt have a word for them. Direct us, Lord. We just leave ourselves before Thee, praying for divine wisdom, insight, the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, and God, who has promised that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. So give us wisdom and power, and may the Holy Ghost come and use the word now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If we are honest, beloved, or to each and every one of us here tonight, I suppose it applies to all of humanity, it is easier to be thankful some days than others. And for those of us who are believers, it's easier to praise the Lord on some days more than others. And that's a sad reality. Some days you're cranky. Some days you're upset. Some days you're downcast. Some days you're disappointed, and so on. You could go on. And there's a whole lot of corrupt feelings we've inherited from Adam that inhibit our praise, that we wake up in the morning with and cause us to have struggle to praise the Lord. It's a struggle. It's not always easy. These remnants that we struggle with, we have to fight. We cannot give up to the old nature. We're not to surrender to His power. His ingratitude, as the old man wakes up every morning and takes everything for granted, that is not to be the spirit of the child of God. We are to wake in the morning with praise. We are to arise from our beds. We are to get up about our business, our responsibilities, with great thankfulness and gratitude to God. The remnants of the old man, the sin, fallen nature within our hearts are so dark and depraved, they fail to see the goodness of God. But we who know Christ ought not to succumb to that. We've been quickened. We have life. We've been raised from the dead. There's something different about us than what there was before. And what we ought to do then in the morning is try, by the grace of God, fervently to be thankful for everything we can see we can be thankful for. We are to be a people of praise. Psalm 67, verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. We're to be praising God all the time. And there isn't an exception there. There isn't an excuse to be had there. There isn't a, well, I'm normally thankful and praiseworthy or giving of praise, but not at the minute. I'm just down. Well, look, if you're down, it's time you praise God even when you're down. We are to praise the Lord, and that is the injunction, the appeal, the command at the very last of this psalm, the verse 6 that we have. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And you think about this book of the Psalms, you think if you're aware and you're familiar with the contents of this book, and I trust you are, and you should familiarize yourself with Psalms, because if you think no one in the world understands you, open up the Word of God to the book of Psalms, read through the Psalms, and you'll find out your God understands you. And there's been people who have gone through the valley you're going through and gone through the stress that you feel and the burdens you experience. There is someone who's gone before you and the Spirit of God has related their experience in the book of Psalms. But see how it ends. Through all the ups and downs, through all the difficulties, through all the nightmares, through all the enemies, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's the way to finish. And that's how we're all going to finish. That brings us right into heaven, beloved. The last psalm brings us into the spirit of praise that will be forever and ever and ever. The praise of God forever. And I love how this hymn book of God that so few churches bother ever to look to, and I must say even sometimes I'm disappointed the fact that we have only a select of our psalms, and sometimes I'm dealing with a message and I'm thinking, you know, that psalm deals with this, and then I turn to the hymn book and the psalm's not in it. And that kind of frustrates me a little bit. But anyway, aside from that, the psalms echo all the reflections of human experience, but see how it ends. Praise to God, because that is the final chapter for the child of God. It is praise. Praise to God. No matter what we experience. If you're David facing enemies all the time, if you're Moses reflected there in the 90th Psalm, if you're whoever who penned this book, who put pen to paper, as it were, and the Spirit of God used their experiences to help us understand that in the depths of despair, God is still with us. This is the final chapter for us all. Doesn't matter what we're going through. So, we have reason today to thank the Lord, and I'm certainly it's not the most difficult day for me to be thankful. I can be truly thankful today, and I trust you can too. And as we consider then this last verse of this psalm, this verse 6 of Psalm 150, there are a few points I just want to leave with you. First of all, the measure of praise. Let everything, no exceptions. Everything is to praise God. You say, well, how? How does everything praise God? Well, turn back to Psalm 148. And you read down through this psalm, you'll see what the psalmist reveals with regard to how everything praises the Lord. Again, it begins, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. And he goes on there. He talks about the fire and hail and the snow, mountains, hills, beasts, cattle, kings of the earth, princes, judges, all people, both young men and maidens, old men, children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, verse 13, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. The whole of creation is to praise God. Everything, everyone, all, heaven, earth, under the earth, everything has its duty to praise God. All. You say, well, how? I mean, how does the sun praise God? How do the mountains and all hills praise God? And I said this in a prayer meeting a few weeks ago when I was talking to the folks who were there. I said, I wish I had eyes that were more able to see the glory of God in His creation. I'm not one of those creative types. I'm very kind of logical and analytical, and I see things very black and white. But there's a nice, there's a benefit to being of the creative type of seeing beyond and seeing the depth of something. And be able to say, and I know some people who that hymn, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen, and they don't get it. Well, the reason you don't get it is because you have the same curse I have. You don't see God in the little intricacies of His creation. But I trust as I go older and go on that God will gift me with eyes to see His glory in all that He has made. I mean, we live at the foothills of the Rockies. We're in one of the most wonderful places on planet Earth. We can look out there and we can go and visit there and are and stand in amazement of what He has created. The very thing that God says, mountains and all hills, praise God. They praise the Lord. But how? How? This is the question we ask. Well, the psalmist tells us, I just didn't read it to you, in verse 8, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. That's it. This is how creation praises God. It fulfills His word. The creation is doing exactly as God ordained it to do. It is praise that comes from creation as it obeys the mind, the will of Almighty God. So when the snow came last night, it was praise to God because it came in obedience to His will. And whenever the heat will come later through this week and it all melts, that heat will come in praise to God, for He has willed it. And when the showers come, and when the sun comes, and when the storms come, and when the thunder clatters, and we see the lightning, all of that, everything, when the grass sprouts and it shoots green, and we see the little buds in the trees, all of that praise to God because it's coming forth of His command. It fulfills His word. And this is why praise is more than just singing. It's more than just the words we were singing here tonight. It's more than that. It has to come from a life that is fulfilling His word. Everything is to fulfill His word. That's where true praise lies. There are a lot of people and they talk about having praise nights. We'll have a praise night. And you go there, there's a lot of singing goes on. And I don't know, God is judged, but I would say some of those people don't know how to praise God because they walk out of there and their life doesn't match. I mean, I'm sure you're aware that that is a reality in our present day. I'm not going to point any fingers because I need to point at myself first at times. But it's true, isn't it? People think praise is just what comes from our lips. Well, that's a massive part, but it has to come from a heart in submission to God, fulfilling His word, endeavoring to fulfill His word. The measure of praise, everything. Everything is to praise Him in fulfilling His word. And you who are without Christ here tonight, you need to praise the Lord as well. You're not excluded from this. This is not just for the people of God. That Psalm 148 makes it clear. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Everyone here tonight has an obligation to give praise to God. An obligation. You're called by the voice of Almighty God from heaven. He sounds and says, you are to praise me. You are to praise me. So are you praising Him? Well, maybe you sang along. And I know many an unbeliever who has a nice voice and like to sing. And even go and do various kind of concerts and so on. And they sing all sorts of hymns and it sounds so lovely and so sweet. And yet their hearts are rebels. In their heart they're rebels. They're not saved. They're not saved at all. They're not truly praising God, are they? I don't think so. Your heart needs to obey the plain commands of God's word. You can't just sing. But then when He says, repent and believe the gospel, embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior, turn from your sin, turn aside from those things that God hates. Unless you do that, you don't know anything about praising God. That's the foundation. And every child of God here knows it, don't you? You know it. You didn't begin to praise God until you repented and believed the gospel. You knew nothing of what it was to praise God. You knew nothing of what it was to have tears of joy before God until you were saved. You're able to enter into the hymn writer and some of the things we were singing. Power in the blood. I mean, the unsaved person, what? What kind of nonsense is this? But the child of God is hallelujah. There's power in the blood of Christ. For I know my wicked heart, and it takes the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse it. Nothing else will do. No, the other things you sing. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You can't sing that unless you've had it. Everything is to praise the Lord. And you unsaved friend, you're here tonight, you need to praise the Lord by first obeying His gospel, coming to Jesus Christ. That is where it begins for you. The people of God have other things to praise Him about, but that's where it begins for you. You need to repent and believe. The believer, you see how it's marked out even in that Psalm 148. I think it's wonderful how it ends there, the last verse. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints. This is interesting because he kind of elaborates more on the praise of the saints than anything else he's mentioned beforehand. Adding this little, he exalteth the horn of His people. What's the horn of His people? It's the strength of His people. God exalts and gives power to His people to do what? To praise Him. To praise Him. And all of His saints praise, being given the strength of God. And this is what we need. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling to praise God, and maybe you're going through those hymns and it was kind of a drudgery to you because you can't enter into it, and whatever you're going through and facing in life is causing you just to be distant from God, this is what you need. You need divine strength. You need the Lord to come and give you strength so that you can praise Him. Even of the children of Israel, people near unto Him, praise ye the Lord. We are to praise Him. And there's no higher occupation for the child of God than praising the Lord. None. No higher occupation. To praise God. I trust the Lord will help us to be a praiseworthy people, in the sense that we are always giving praise to the one who is worthy. Let everything, we might say let everyone, but everything. Every part of our service, whether it be our worship service, let every part of it praise the Lord. And I'm conscious of that. We don't read prayers here. I have no problem with the fact that you can use it as a guide, right? You can use it as a guide, but we don't read prayers because we believe we have a relationship with God that doesn't require me, you know, someone to tell me how to address God, right? If I know the Word of God, I learn how to pray. But I'm very conscious that when I pray, when I lead in prayer, it is having an effect on you or not. And if the Lord is in it, it is a great blessing to sit and be led to the throne of grace by someone who is being empowered by God to pray. I will never forget one of the first times I was in a service and I heard Dr. Ian Paisley pray. He was an old man, and his powers to preach were weak, let's just say that. And all the ability he had in his earlier days, the decline was evident to see, but there was something that didn't leave that man, and that was how to pray. It was the distinguishing mark of him. It didn't matter how much the mind was failing, how much he was failing physically, and his powers of oratory were declining, all of that. But when he began to pray, he would just lift you up before the Lord. And my, but the last, amen, you were just in delight. And I had him pray for me sitting before I went to Australia. I had to go and see him. And he talked with me and then he prayed for me before I went to Australia. And just to have that man talk to God on your behalf, knowing someone who knows how to pray. And I'm conscious the Lord needs to help me because it makes a difference. Every part, that's the point, every part, every cent that you give, you're not giving just for the sake of giving, I hope not. Let this praise you, Lord. Praise you. You have conversations with people. Let every conversation praise the Lord. You walk out of here and head to your work. All that you do, praise the Lord. We've lost something of that. May the Lord help us to be cognizant of it and seek by His grace to get it back. Not only the measure of praise, but the means of praise. Because it tells us, let everything that hath breath, everything that has breath. This is the means whereby we praise, in a sense. That is by the breath that he gives. Without breath, you die. You know, as simple as that. You know, food is very important, but you can go a whole long time without food. Then water is even more important, right? Because you can't go as long without water as you can without food. But how long can you go without breath? Not very long. You may, if you're very skilled and you practice, you may get 4 or 5 minutes. But the best of us here tonight probably would be fortunate if we could get to 2 minutes. We need breath. And this is what the Lord has given us. Let everything that hath breath. Breath. He gives us breath to do what? To praise him. And again, not just by the mere singing, but by the strength we get, by the life we gain by having breath, it's to be used to praise him, to give glory to his name. He doesn't give us breath to murmur. Many Christians are like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Doesn't matter what the Lord does for them, they're always finding a reason to murmur. You don't even want to be around them because they're always complaining. Never a day went past for them as they traversed through the wilderness round and round and round for 40 years. Never a day went past but God sent them manna. And God gave them water and they're in the wilderness. There's nothing. There's nothing. Never a day went by but God didn't provide for them. He provided faithfully. And yet they would murmur, wouldn't they? They would complain, they'd find some reason. Oh, it's not like what we had in Egypt. Rose-tinted glasses, that, wasn't it? You know, the garlic and the herbs and everything we had in Egypt. Well, hang on, you're forgetting one little thing. What about the whips? What about the enslavement? What about having no Sabbath? Because you were pushed in all of your slavery. The Lord looked after them. Clothes never were tattered. Shoes never wore out. 40 years they wandered around and God looked after them. And yet they still murmured. Are you murmuring? Is there something you're complaining about before God? Well, maybe you're not actually saying to God, I'm unhappy about this or I'm dissatisfied, but it's in your mind. The complaints, they're in your mind. You're discontent. You're dissatisfied. You don't like this, you don't like that, you don't like them. You know, we were thinking about Philip this morning and his effect on the community as a winner of souls. You know, one of the easiest ways to become an effective winner of souls, you don't always have to have all the answers. You don't have to be gifted in arguing against every cult and every ism that's about. You can be a powerful witness by being someone who goes out there and is full of praise. Just be full of praise. Just so you go into the checkout and, you know, someone's saying, oh, it's terrible weather. You say, well, it's not terrible weather. It's a good day. It's a great day. What right have we to complain? You can say, I'm not saying you say it like that, but you can say to them, you can rebuke them and say, no, I'm thankful. Regardless of the weather, I'm thankful. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. Looking at the weather and complaining. Looking at this, that, and the other and complaining, murmuring. But you, believer, you see through different eyes. You don't see the snow that, yeah, it can be frustrating at times, or I wish it would just clear off and winter becomes to get a bit tiresome. No. You see through different eyes. You see through gratitude. Thank God I can see the snow. Thank God I've strength to shovel it. Yes. Same as when you complain about the dishes. You see the dishes piling up and there's dishes need clean. Be thankful there are dishes that are dirty. Because that means there's been food on the table. And it's all about perspective. And God's people should be leading the way in gratitude before this unthankful world in which we live. Here, everyone's so blessed. They have more stuff than they know how to count. And what about it? They're still miserable. But not the child of God. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Your breath's not given to you to enter into their melancholy. Your breath's not given to you to come alongside and say, I know, life's tough. Look, your breath has been given to praise God. I'm not saying life isn't tough. I'm not saying things aren't hard. I'm asking you, by God's help, and if you struggle, just ask for help. Dear God, help me to see the reasons and the ways which I can praise you. What am I missing? Because you are missing something. You're just not seeing clearly. But God can give you eyes to see. He can. He can. Oh, don't be like the children of Israel. God hated the murmuring. He hated it. He hated it. You want to know why? Because it reflected unbelief. That's why. It wasn't just murmuring. Murmuring reflects unbelief. And that's why they didn't enter into the promised land. You ask yourself, if I'm murmuring, if I'm complaining, then does that reflect unbelief in my heart? I'm going to tell you it does. It does. See, faith rises above the problem that causes you to murmur and sees God's purpose, sees God's plan, sees God's love, sees the fact that he doesn't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. And everything he brings across your way is for your good. Everything, without exception. I wish we'd get that into our hearts. All things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. Get into your heart, believer. Don't just quote it. Know it. Live it. See it. Show it to the world. No matter what happens, you're living with praise. So thankful. Yes, the means by which we praise. He hath breath. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's what we are to do. And you will win more souls if you can just do that. You will. They'll say, well, they're a strange specimen. Doesn't matter what you say, they're always thankful. They always turn it to be good. Doesn't matter what life throws at them, but it seems as if they can see the good in it. What is wrong with that person? Yes, that's the way they'll think. And then you can tell them what's wrong with you. I've had a heart transplant. God took a stony heart and gave me a new heart, a heart of flesh that sees God in everything, sees Christ in his glory in all that I endure. Thirdly, the mandate of praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's an imperative. That's a command. It's not optional. It's not something you can say, well, some days it's for me and some days it's not. No, praise ye the Lord. And I ought not to have to tell you about the importance of this. Nor should I have to stretch my linguistic and communicative skills in order to make you see that you have every reason to praise the Lord. Every morning is another reason to praise the Lord. It's not just a reason. Every day is an opportunity to praise the Lord. It's another day he's been given you. He has given you in order to use your breath to praise him. I would to God we could make praise a habit. I've met people like that, you know. I have met people like that. It seems as if praise is a habit. They're just always seeing the good. They're just joyous. They have this joy in their hearts. And it's not fake. Some people it is fake. It's just a facade. They're hiding a deeper kind of darkness. But for some people it is real. They know how to praise God, no matter what happens. Where to be, and I was talking to one of the young brothers who got baptized this morning, and I was saying about how do you testify? How do you talk about what the Lord has done for you? There's no words to express it. And that's so true. And I quote it to him, Psalm 40, verse 5. When David says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Many. Yes, many. God hasn't given you a few. You have to kind of search around through life trying to find out where they are. Many. Many are thy wonderful works. Why do we not see this? Why do our problems seem greater than our blessings? Why? What problem can be greater in size than the blessing of sins forgiven? What equal is there to that? What problem is bigger than the blessing of knowing that nothing shall ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord? Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. They can't. I can't begin to account the many things God has done for me. I just can't do it. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I love that verse. I do. I said, that's my testimony right there, you know. Right there in verse 5 of Psalm 40. And it should be the testimony of every child of God that there's so much God has done for you, so much good that He showers your way, everything He brings, everything. Not just the good things, but the hard things. Yes. Wonderful works that God does for His people. As we close this, then, let's think about this in another way. Think about it in light of the amazing reality that God even receives our praise. That's amazing. Why should God receive our praise? Think about this afternoon, typing this out. And I thought to myself, for me to praise God, you know, standing here tonight singing with you, to me, it was before God setting Christ aside, it must be like an old mongrel barking outside your house that doesn't sound too pleasant, is really annoying, and if you go out there, stinks. I mean, before God, that's us. But what makes a difference? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You gaze upon the Lord Jesus, you see Him in all of His perfections, and then you see what the Scriptures teach. He imputes that to me. All of the beauty of the Lord Jesus is given to me. So I sing with that beauty upon me. I sing with the hymn writer, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. If you have the dress of the Lord Jesus, that's what makes the praise acceptable. That's what allows you to come before God. Because otherwise you are like an old mongrel barking, and you're a stench before God because your sin is rotten. And you without Christ tonight, you need to get that. Your best efforts, your best desires, your most holiest thoughts are rotten before God. They are. And your only hope to prevent you from landing in an eternal abyss known as hell, your only hope is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. And that's why we can praise. It's because of Jesus Christ that God even invites us to praise. He wouldn't invite us if there was no Jesus Christ. Because He knows we're wretched. He's not going to invite the wretch to come and praise Him unless that wretch can be changed. Unless all that filth can be covered. And that's what the gospel gives to us. And this is the heart of all our praise. That the fact I can praise God. I can praise Him because the blood cleanses me from all sin. And His righteousness that He lived out obeying the law was accredited to me. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. And no matter how filthy I may feel, and no matter what sins I may commit, when I get myself under the blood, when I clothe myself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when I view Him, I have acceptance. I come with boldness. Come without any fear to praise God. What a wonder. What a mercy. And there's little you can do, Christian, that's more heavenly than praising the Lord. While it is inaccurate to think that heaven is only praising God, certainly that's at the heart of it. And all we shall do, and there's much mystery there about what we shall do in detail. But I know this. Central to all that we shall do will be praise. And we will sing Revelation 5. The new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Yes, praise will be at the heart of it. So I'm rejoicing today, but I'm called to rejoice tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that and month after that and year after that. I'm to enter into the place of praise in a constant spirit of praise, no matter what this life brings. If you're without Christ, you know nothing about this. You don't get it. You don't understand it. You don't understand the privilege of it. And that's what breaks our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. It's been a good day in the Lord's house today. It's always a good day in the Lord's house, but sometimes he draws a little nearer. May our hunger rise for him. We always want it to be the testimony of this place when people walk in that their overriding thought is this: Jesus is in the house. He is honored there. He is loved there. He is obeyed there. He is worshipped there. He means everything to those who are there. And I'm glad for you, beloved. So many of you that I know. And I know you have your faults just like I do. But I'm so thankful that so many of you have a love for Jesus Christ. And you praise the Lord. Again, if you have any questions, need any help, any counsel, please feel free to talk to us. There is some leftovers from this morning, some things that were remaining, food and coffee and so on. And if you're able to stay, then you'll be more than welcome to stay. Just have a time of fellowship. We trust to be enough to go around. But enjoy the fellowship with us before you head on your way home. Our God and Father, we just thank thee for sufficient sight to see the need to praise God. For all of our weakness, we have that. And we're thankful that we have a desire to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have a deep-seated longing to serve him. And we pray that thou wilt ever give us grace to put him first. Against every hindrance and all the attacks of Satan himself as he seeks to discourage us in order to get us sidetracked, we pray thou wilt preserve us and keep us. Help us to put on the whole armor of God and go forward into the battle in a spirit of praise and joy. And give to thy people the anointing and infilling of the Holy Ghost every day. We pray that thou wilt bless them through all their labors. Help those in their home. Help those in their workplace. Help those in their school. Help all of us, Lord, as we go about to praise the Lord. And we ask that thou wilt baptize us with a recognition of your mercy from the moment we open our eyes every morning, that we see thy goodness, we behold thy mercies, and we say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Lord, give us that, we pray, that we might do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Hear prayer, be with us all, bless the food that is provided as we eat and drink, may we do so to thy glory, sanctify our conversation, and bless our hearts as we head home, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with thine own dear people now, throughout this week, and forevermore. Amen.